On today's episode, we're going to talk about the three C's of home buying.
It's got to be against the law to look this damn good.
Little jazzy jazzy.
Cause baby, I feel real good, and I wish I would.
Yes, you get that.
Oh my gosh.
I think this song's for you.
Not today, but for you, sir.
We're bringing it together, everyone. You are either listening or watching to
MLO.
Thanks for being here, Casey.
Absolutely, Addy. Thanks for having me.
You double fisting with the coffee mugs over there?
I guess yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we have the...
One's water, one's coffee. Yeah, one for the middle.
How about this, guys? I'm going to do a quick little switcheroo-ski. It's like a magic trick, and it's gone.
Oh, my gosh. Just down on the ground.
Off the set.
Just out of there. So we are going to go over the three C's today, Casey.
That's the three C's. Not for Casey Carpenter. It's only two C's, but we're going through the three C's. Watch the mic. Going through the three C's. And guess what that is, Addy?
What?
I'm going to tell you exactly.
I'm going to quiz you. I know what they are.
You're going to quiz me. It's going to be compensation, credit, and cash to close.
These are big ones, everyone. So, right? Yeah, in all seriousness, we always open up nice and fun here on the MLO show, but this is a really nice one, two, three steps. So if you are considering buying, refinancing, selling, making a move, there's been a lot of changes from what people need from their homes now. So the three C's is a really nice way to go through kind of some checkbox. So let's put in the terms of maybe you got to service your car, right? We all rolled up to that, the oil change spot, right?
Jeffy Lou.
And they're going to, oh, we're going to do your 47 point check here. And then they come back and tell you. So this is a 3-point check. This is something that I go through with a lot of people just on the phone without filling out an application, without pulling credit. Now, it's preliminary numbers and to the best of our knowledge and a lot of assumptions on my end, like everything you're telling me is truth, right?
Totally. But it's got to be truth.
The three C's are huge. So number one really should be like employment, but we call it compensation so we can have those three C's for the convenient.
but it's right, though. How are you getting paid?
How are you getting paid? That's something I always start off right at the bat. Like, and it's a casual conversation, like, oh, what do you do for work? You know, your typical hobnobbing small talk. But, you know, what do you do for work? Oh, I'm, you know, an engineer. Oh, good. Are you paid hourly or are you salary? That's right. The first thing I always say, because there's a lot of details on what's referred to as qualifying income. Someone might make a ton of money, Casey, but not all of that is qualifying income from a mortgage perspective. So we're going to start with how you're getting paid. Most importantly, though, on the compensation, really, with 2020, COVID, the pandemic, has brought in a lot of different variables, right, Casey?
For sure. And you're just seeing that with just different sectors that have been affected. Mm-hmm. But honestly, and we're just going to put it out there, it's like time on job, the variable hours or the variable weeks. And a lot of this, unfortunately, it's not in fault of the employee themselves, right? We're dealing with a pandemic. It's a crazy atmosphere.
Most definitely.
You know, and hopefully better things to come, right?
That's a good point, though, with the schedule and the hours. People have shifted job positions and titles. But one of the biggest ones, too, is like furloughing, time off.
Right.
We've had a lot of clients whose employer decided that they were letting off all their employees for 30, 60, 90 days. Then they brought them back on, or they were temp workers. Those are a lot of things you need to iron out, right?
Totally. And as an employee, though, it's not your fault. And I do relate with a lot of our clients on that factor, where it's not like you're thinking about it from a qualifying standpoint, right? I mean, your employer says, hey, you know, we're taking, you know, the next 3 weeks to, you know, get stuff in order, take the time off, whatever it is. But you don't understand how later on with income and stuff that factors in. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the changes with COVID is something we as advisors have to take into consideration, make sure we're doing our due diligence and advising correctly.
Oh, 100%. And that's something I spend a lot of time. I want to hear the story. And it's not like filling out a form for your doctor. It's way more casual, right? You're not like, here's your clipboard, fill out your history and the 50 questions. It's more just the more information that we know as mortgage advisors, the easier the communication to the underwriter, who ultimately says yes or no on the approval. It's just much easier to tell the story. So more details are better, and it's not personal. So I think one of the more challenges are with 2020 being so unique for every single person and how their employer or their company has handled the pandemic. There's just no flat guideline. It's a case-by-case situation for a lot of people, and it's under the investors and the underwriters' guidelines and perspective. So the more information, the better. So I know we went off a little bit there, but telling the story is super, super important on the compensation and identifying the qualifying income. Commission bonuses are subject to how long have you been receiving those? Can we prove those? If you just switch from one job to another, you're 100% sales. These are things we need to talk about. So the compensation structure or your employment, number one. Lastly, before we go to number two, you can never reach out too early if you're self-employed right now, because self-employed, there are so many moving variables with tax returns. We're now in filing 2020 returns, your schedule. You're
in that window period where it's like, how do we see that last year, right? Because we haven't filed taxes yet.
So you want to be proactive. We want to be analyzing those tax returns because it's way more complex. There's a lot of great business owners that were unfortunately impacted for short-term shutdown, right? True. Your retail front, a spa or a restaurant.
Absolutely.
All those were really impacted. So we need to talk about it earlier than later. Unfortunately, we get way too many calls morning of putting in an offer.
Even your benefit packages, guys, that they're putting in place for us. I mean, we're all for trying to help everybody get out of the current situation or help our small business owners and stuff. But PPE loans, different stuff like that, anything that's out there, it's all just taken into financing considerations. It's very important to just tell the whole story.
Yep.
Every detail, whether you may think it's important or not, could be important in the loan process.
Yeah, the details is a great point there, Case. Rolling, though, to back it, I just think you gotta start earlier. I know that probably sounds super long-winded, but getting us those tax returns and letting us use our team, our resources, and our tools to analyze those tax returns and identify the qualifying income. Because say you don't have enough or something came up that was unknown from the consumer standpoint, we can create a plan and get you put together. Like, hey, we need to work with your CPA to verify A, B, and C.
Absolutely. And when you're in markets where it's super competitive or you don't have inventory going on to where it's like, there's abundance, right? It's a shortage of inventory. Being the first one to the scene, the first one with the offer in maybe, or, early to the table, however it is, it's important to have that stuff already planned out ahead of time. Mm-hmm. How much income you're qualifying for. At the end of the day, what you are pre-approved for, what you can buy for, and it's all hashed out because this as we're seeing across the country, not just here in, Pacific Northwest, but competitive markets, right? So those details being early on helps a lot because sometimes it might take longer to pre-approve your situation than it could be the next client just because of your details and the rules and the guides we have to follow.
Yeah. I'm holding back because I don't want to just run off and lose everybody that's watching or listening to the MLO right now. But get in the conversation early because that just allows for you to be flexible and create a plan. Additionally, to your point, Casey, with how competitive the market is, sellers or listing agents that we refer to them are vetting. Oh, are you pre-approved? Not the diluted pre-approved, but have you collected and reviewed bank statements and tax returns and P&Ls, things like that. So we have our license on the line and we are truthful, but we want to represent you to have your best shot in a very hot market. So that kind of rolls over to the proactive side to number two, the credit aspect, the second C, right?
Yeah.
Credit. So that's kind of obvious. A lot of people, Case, are like, oh, I'm not ready to pull my credit. And I think one of the biggest things to know is typically when you run your credit, you have about 90 to 120 days till that credit report is still good, meaning you don't need to run it again. A lot of people don't know that.
For the listeners out there, so you have 90 to 120 days before that credit report.
Depending on the company, yeah.
Depending on the company, before you have to re-pull a new credit report.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things are, if you've got a colorful past, as I like to say.
A rainbow past.
Yeah, rainbow past. Or your journey has been long walked. You will definitely want to have the credit conversation. Mainly for the obvious, but also because over the last 12 months, the pandemic has impacted the way that mortgage companies and investors are pricing out risk. Mm. Which means, say back up 3 years ago, the impact, the higher interest rate for maybe a lower credit score is a lot higher now than it was. Mm. And it's really because investors and mortgage companies need to round out their portfolios, or it's like the good driver, bad driver. You notice like your teenager has really high auto insurance. It's almost the same for mortgage. So the only way to show your driving record in the mortgage world is your credit score.
Totally makes sense. It's almost like striving to hit that 26-year period as an early driver, right? You don't have any backing. You got to show you got some history. You got to show you've done it right. You made the right choices, right?
Yep.
So you can start from, you know, either a lower credit score. We've all talked about these journeys if you've been watching the MLO show, but credit's important. It's an important detail.
It's one of the biggest controllables in the process, actually. A lot of people focus on like, oh, is the market going to crash or is it going to continue to go up? I want to get a great deal. I'm going to do a flip. They're thinking of all these things to try to save $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 in a really hot market. And but really your main controllable, though, is the credit, because that's going to impact your monthly overhead on the mortgage note. So much. Number one being that interest rate, of course. However, number two, the less spoken of, less obvious, is mortgage insurance.
And I think I just want to pause for a second so the you know, viewers and listeners can grab that point. Like, there's a lot that goes into it, like, you know, interest rates or monthly payment or your down payment or where you're buying, the schools your kids go into, your job, you know, maybe something has happened and you are aware of that. You had to change jobs or whatever it is. But a lot of people forget about one of the most important details, the credit.
The credit's really big.
The credit. I mean, it could be, or there's just something hanging out there from years past that you forgot about. That could come up, you know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's a very, credit's an important detail. So it's something to at least, that's why when you're jumping on it early, like Addy has mentioned, you're early on in the process, that helps you alleviate any things that you might not know about that comes up.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things you can do proactive, because there are many people that it's going to take them longer to get into contract because of a hot market, or maybe they're trying to do this late in the summer when their kids aren't in school. So you have time to work on things that will impact your monthly payment down the road. For a quick example, mortgage insurance, going back to it. On conventional loans, the impact of your monthly mortgage insurance, which is the premium that is a part of your monthly payment if you have less than 20% down and you make it a monthly cost rather than upfront. Very, very common. A lot of people do this.
Right.
Is heavily, heavily weighted on credit score. To give you an example, I pulled a mortgage quote at a $500,000 sales price just yesterday, 5% down. In the difference between a 675 credit score for this scenario and a 770 credit score, the 670 monthly premium was $395 and the 770 was $89 a month. Almost a $300 a month impact. That's a good car payment.
Yeah.
That is unreal.
Guys, $300.
And check this out, Casey. A lot of people who are really focused on getting a deal in their home say they're going to squeeze and negotiate. They've got the best people on their team to save $10,000. And that's great. Saving money is great. Getting a great deal is fantastic, right? However, $10,000 in savings of the negotiated sales price on a 30-year fix typically only moves your monthly payment $40 to $50.
Boom.
So you just spent time, effort, and diluted the impact of your offer for $5,000-$10,000, which only moves that payment $25 to $50, versus that unfortunate anchoring credit score costed you almost $300 a month. Why are we focusing on it, market forecast, predicting whether it's going to go up or down, and then negotiating in one of the most competitive markets in real estate history? Cool. When really, if we were proactive, we met, we had a clear understanding of what our credit score was, we could have a 30, 60, 90-day plan to get you in a higher credit level and more impactfully lower your monthly payment.
And what overall helps you more, guys? Is it just negotiating on that $50 a month, or is it the $300 a month?
Right. And, you know, I think
it's almost frustrating, right, Addy?
Yeah. Well,
but you don't know what you don't know. And I think me and you breathe a lot about this.
Yeah.
Education factor. And it's reaching out, being advised, being getting that. And how do you do that, for one?
No, I think it's a great time to let people know about our VIP line. But I don't want to forget, though, what you were just saying. Like, I don't want to dilute the fact that, yeah, you want to get a fair market value, but there's a lot of steps that are helping you get a great deal, like the appraisal, the inspection period, that you work with your agent. Yeah. So there's a lot of catch-alls. But lastly, before we talk about how to get a hold of the MLO network in the MLO show, I do want to say it is extremely, extremely important to not forget about that credit, because it helps you in other arenas of your life, not just mortgage, your credit cards, your auto loans, your student loans. This really will impact how much interest you and your family are going to have to pay over a lifetime.
For sure. And if you don't know just basic form for credit, guys, like not from just the mortgage side of it, but even your auto loans, like Addy's saying, or your personal loans or student loans or something. Just think of it this way. It's a reflection of how you're paying back money that's lent to you. It's something, no matter on all shapes or form, when you're asking for any credit to be advanced to you, even if you're going to get the cell phone on credit, right?
Yeah.
Makes
a difference.
It makes a difference. And Addy's preaching some good talk here, guys, because, I mean, 50 points could change your scenario, impact you monthly savings wise, or 100 points, you know. So,
and your buying power, your buying power, what you can put, the maximum amount you can put in on a house, which makes you more competitive. So before we lose the crowd here, I think we should roll in and let people know the MLO show has an exclusive network. We have a VIP line that you can reach out to us either directly on the phone or through text, right, Casey?
Absolutely. And I will start us off with that. And that number is
503-847-9038.
Absolutely.
So hit us up on that little line. Let us know. So it reaches out to our extended MLO show team. So Casey, myself, Bree Fisher, the mother of mortgages, more back-end people that, you know, don't hop on the show here, but fully support. We urge you, whether you're just thinking about it, whether it's refinancing, selling, or buying, we have a network throughout the entire nation, and we're located here in the Pacific Northwest. So we're here to answer any questions you have. So thank you for reminding me, because I often forget to share that number, Casey. So
it's a nice way, and you know, Addy already mentioned it, but you know, I actually saw one the other day. One came through, you know, you know, you hop on, we answer it right away. There's plenty of peeps ready to grab that number, but it's a good way just to get some questions that are out there answered. And that could lead us into the question of number 3C, right? Mm-hmm. And what is that number 3C, Addy?
So the third C of the process of kind of doing your self-check and what we go through with our initial mortgage advising intro call, cash to close. So this is something often overlooked. Cash to close is the term used on the mortgage side of how much money is it going to take to complete this transaction, right? So one thing that's overlooked the most is people go through either getting pre-qualified on the internet, or they even get pre-approved with some licensed mortgage company or advisor, but they don't understand a key component, which is closing costs and your prepaids if you're escrowing property taxes and insurance.
Right.
So that's going to change on a lot of different variables based on when you close, not only in the year, but throughout the month, what insurance you choose, what property tax assessment is on the property that you're looking, which changes to every house. So there are different buckets of closing costs. Now, it's important to know and be working with someone that's going to be completely transparent with you.
Like, transparent.
That is huge. A lot of people I've noticed, especially first-time homebuyers, they're like, oh, I'm going to go 3% down, 5% down, and they think that that's all that they owe.
Right.
They think that that is it. And they neglected to either communicate with their mortgage advisor and their agent that they actually don't have enough money to cover the additional $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 in closing costs. So there's a strategy that we have chalked up on a different episode of closing costs and that breakdown, but it is possibly more money than you think, and a lot of people are scrambling. But setting that aside, I want to talk about where the money's coming from,
because
that might have seemed really obvious, but one of the biggest hangs up is sourcing funds, right? Whether are you getting funds from a family member? Is it cryptocurrency?
Ooh.
I had a client that moved money over to crypto, and it's now wasn't eligible for this particular program. There's a lot of pieces.
Like, moving parts. And something, you know, us as advisors always are looking at or considering, you know, and we try to preach it as much as possible. But for clients out there, you know, these rules and these guidelines change too. You have cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. you have different things that happen sometimes in stock market or different stocks, you know, or different.
Yeah, say you just made 20 grand on GameStop.
Right. You know, can you count that as income? Well, that's a whole different factor, guys. And the way I like to just preach it back to the clients is just think about it like this. I relate it similar, and we are mortgage licensed professionals. We are not CPA tax advisors by any means, but it's kind of like taxes, where your rules and your laws change per year depending on what's coming into play, you know, policies, economic factors, whatever it is, right? Yeah. So it's a good analogy, because every day, me and Addy, I can guarantee you guys, we are looking at the updates, we're looking at the current guidelines coming in, what has changed in income calculation or cash to close calculation, or what can be used for assets or bank or money. We are sitting there reading that to make sure we have the most current up-to-date information to advise you guys properly. But at the end of the day, everything you do does have a rule or guideline that must be followed. So is that, you know, money, was that money given to you as a gift? Was that money a cash deposit? Was that money from, you know, inherited assets? Whatever it is, this is stuff we have to look at, right, Addy?
It's a super good point. And every loan program has a different way of sourcing funds. Okay. So the easiest way to do it, guys, is to know that this is how I put it in kind of casual conversation, is for every dollar used in real estate transaction, it needs to be sourced, which means you have to show over the last two statement periods, which is typically monthly, sometimes quarterly, where all that money came from. So if it's not sourced and it's just, hey, payroll deposit, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, there's more of a story to tell.
Yes, sir.
So the more you're moving around money, the more challenging and the more paperwork from your end that is required. So it's best to just be upfront. Hey, one example might be, let's just role play. Hey, Casey, I have a Fidelity account, a Betterment investment account, my standard checking and savings, and my mom and dad are going to give me $5,000 for this. We have four different things. So what's really common is the consumer or the client, the home buyer, will just move all this money around all the time.
Back and forth.
All the time. Then they'll get Venmo because they sold this and they'll sell that. All of that moving constellation has to be brought in together and condensed on a storyline. And us and our team have to demonstrate to the underwriter where all the money came from. So it's much easier to be, hey, here are all my accounts. Wait. Have someone like myself or you advise you on the path of least resistance. Because often, you know, every consumer's heart's in the right place. They're just trying to help. Hey, I'm going to move all this money over to my checking. That way, when the cash to close, which is the third C, is due, it's just going to be an easy peasy transfer. But on the back end, you know, the Wizard of Oz underwriter and investor is like, well, where did that $500 come from?
Yep.
You must source it.
Totally.
So it's best to just communicate it and know, if every single fund is eligible, and that you're on track. The gift stuff is a whole nother thing. Be upfront about the gifts. That is something that happens all the time. It's like, oh, I just got $4,000. And they just didn't tell. It's just on the bank statement.
Right.
That has to be sourced. So there's, depending on the loan program, there's paperwork the gifter has to sign. They need to be an eligible family member.
Absolutely.
Spouse, fiance, domestic partner.
Are they inside the states or are they international?
In some cases, the family member, depending on the loan product, has to show bank statements that they didn't smuggle the money into the country, which can be a very, very sticky situation.
Sensitive, sensitive, sensitive topic, guys.
My only advice on that one, unofficial advice, because I'm not a licensed therapist of family, try to make it your family member's idea.
Yep.
Oh, and, maybe and I should just give you my bank statement rather than like, I need this, Pops.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, guys, there's just rules, laws, like we said, that get put in place. We have anti-terrorism money laundering acts. We got the Patriot Act. We got a lot of stuff. We don't need to go into it. We had an episode on 9/11. You know,
and it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff for our economy.
And it's just us following the rules, so there's rules that you have to follow.
Trust me, we're not trying to make it any harder than it already is.
No, we are not trying to
make it any harder. If we could carpool in this thing, we would, right?
Yeah, we would just speed you right through, pack everybody in the
van. 9 to 5 carpool, two people or more.
But, yeah, we got to show where the money's coming from. That, at the end of the day, we just have to follow the money. And Addy makes a great point, guys. Even if it's like you got 20 grand and you break off 1,000 because it went this way and you sold it and brought it back and back at the end it's still 20, we still got to follow all of it. We got to follow all of that movement, you know, source it all. So cash to close is, again, another big priority. And that's why I like when we break it down to these three C's topics, right? It's very easy. And why don't we tell anyone, you know, that didn't remember the three C's exactly what they are, but it's like capacity. Mm-hmm. And what is that, Addy?
Capacity is employment and compensation structure. So how much money you're making and how do you get it?
Exactly. And then what's that second that comes in, you know, and this is, you know, let's just be brief. Why should we, you know, lend you money or how have you shown to pay back money? And that's factored through a credit score. Credit rating.
It will impact your monthly payment more than trying to negotiate the sales price most of the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then this falls then down to that third, right?
Cash to close, baby.
Absolutely.
Where's that money coming from?
Where is she coming from?
And how much do I owe? Because it's not always accurate, right?
Right, right. And you might have some things throughout the transaction, right? You might have like, you know, earnest money or some deposits, you know, and that might come off the top. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. you get that cheddar to make it happen.
Ooh, you just added a C to our three C's.
Oh, man.
It's a sub C, the cheddar C.
The sub C of the three.
But in conclusion, I'm going to wrap it up with one more, not a C, but a PC. Be proactively communicative. Communicate. We can create a plan if we proactively communicate and we understand the story and we can prevent a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and get you into the best possible financing for your next home buy or refinance, right?
Absolutely, man. And guess what?
Hit him with that number, though.
You call this number anytime, man. This is a good number to call. This is
503-847-9038. And once again, that is the VIP line, guys. Mm. It's a full extension to the MLO show, the Modern Loan Officer team. We are here to support you. Any questions, whether you're in our licensed state or throughout the nation, we will connect you with a trusted advisor within the field, whether it's financing or mortgage. We got you back, right, Casey?
Guess what, Addy? If you're timid to call that, shoot us out on a comment. We're on Facebook.
Comment, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Podcast. Find us anywhere, guys.
Apple,
we're out
Spotify.
There. We're like oxygen. We're out there.
Oh, my gosh. That's a little much. I don't know if we're about oxygen.
Water?
Well, we're going to roll it in on that. Hey, Casey, I love the three C's, ending with the PC, backed with the cheddar.
On the next episode of MLO, we're going to talk about how not to get discouraged when buying in a hot market. When you get up out your seat, it's time to make it happen when we hit these streets. I'm coming tonight and I can't be beat. Watch out now.